I just want to give take a moment to give thanks for our music ministry here at Broadway. I know Jacob and Jerry work very hard to bring these songs to us during this season, and I know they had lots of hiccups on the road trying to get rehearsals together and get these performances recorded, and especially for those who stepped in last minute. I know for that last song, Jacob had to drag Kyle in from the hallway to get him to play, and we trained him quickly to be able to play the bells so we could bring these songs to you and give you some joy this Christmas season. So I give you all thanks today. One of my favorite Christmas songs is O Holy Night. And there's one line in that song that I just have continued to play over and over and over again in my head, especially in the midst of this season. And that line is this: a thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. This year has been unlike any other. You know, we hear the words unprecedented a lot when describing 2020, but it feels like we live in a weary world where we are just tired of the experiences that we have had to endure over the past 9 or 10 months. We are tired and worn out, and we want to get back to normal. But in this song, we hear this line: a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. On this Christmas Sunday, I hope that you are finding opportunities to rejoice. I know that Christmas is often a difficult season, even in a normal year that's not 2020, right? Many of us have experienced loss. We sit at tables on Christmas missing family members who have passed. Some of us, you know, the day after Christmas, we open up our bank accounts and realize that we have massively overspent on all of the gifts that we have purchased. Or maybe you're cleaning your house and looking through and sorting your mail that you've neglected and realize your personal property tax bill has come due and you only have a few days left to pay that. That's just a reminder that is due in the next few days. But wherever you are, sometimes, even when it's not 2020, this Sunday can feel especially weary. Historically, in the church, if you look at our attendance numbers, churches all across the country, you will notice that this Sunday is often one of the lowest attended Sundays on the calendar. Because this hype of Christmas has been built up, people have gone to church on Christmas Eve or worshiped online, and so they're just tired. And this is the Sunday where they don't tune in. But this is a Sunday about joy, about reigniting who we are as Christians, even when we're tired, because hope breaks through. Even though we're tired this Sunday, I can only imagine how Mary and Joseph felt on these first days after Christmas. I imagine the spiritual and emotional toll that they had in this past year. They have been given this divine mission, and they are two parents within the first 40 days of their child's life in the text that we're going to read today. And so as we come into our text for this morning, we recognize that they've journeyed from Nazareth to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, right? Because they were given that census that they had to complete, so they had to go to Bethlehem to be registered. And now they're heading back to Jerusalem. Even though their hometown is in Nazareth, they have to go back to Jerusalem. Even though they're emotionally and physically exhausted, we open up our text with a weary Mary and Joseph as they go to the temple with their new baby. And here in this text, we meet two characters, two elders, Simeon and Anna. And they've been waiting their whole lives to see the Messiah. And it appears in Mary and Joseph's arms as they come into the temple. Let's read from Luke chapter 2. This is just after we hear about the birth of Jesus and where he is named. And, you know, the shepherds come and visit and they go. We're going to read about Jesus being presented in the temple in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. In our tradition here at Broadway United Methodist Church, whenever we encounter a gospel text, we stand as a church. So at home, I would invite you to stand this morning as we read the Gospel of Luke. Luke says this: "When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem. His name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see the death, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel.' And when the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him, then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, 'This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.' There was also a prophet, Anna. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after marriage, then as a widow for her age of 84. She had never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came, and she began to praise God and to speak about the child, who were all looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus grew up in a family who meticulously observed the law of Moses. We hear over and over and over again, just in this passage alone, that they were following the law of Moses. In the very beginning, it says, when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses. And then at the end of the text, in verse 39, it says, when they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord. We are reminded that Mary and Joseph, despite their weariness and circumstance, they want to follow God's law. Later in life, as Jesus grew up, he would become tension between the law, right? He challenged folks' interpretation of the law by healing on the Sabbath and by encountering those the world deemed unclean. Jesus would redefine what the law meant. So Luke here puts kind of this emphasis on the law, while at the same time, later in his gospel, sharing with us how Jesus would redefine what that meant. So initially in this story, we get two examples of the law being carried out. The first is the purification of the mother after childbirth, which is 40 days later, we know if we read other biblical text. And then the dedication of the firstborn son to God. Now, I think it's interesting to note that Mary, she was impregnated, right, in a divine manner through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this baby was the Son of God. So I often wonder, did she really even need to go through these practices? Did she really need to be purified? Wasn't she already pure? Did Jesus really need to be dedicated to God? Because he already belonged to God. He was God and is God. We hear this same kind of narrative when we look at the baptism, right? Jesus is baptized. One of the first things he does in his ministry. We'll talk about that here in a couple weeks on Baptism of Our Lord Sunday. And one of the things that we learn in baptism is that part of that act is being washed clean of our sin. But we know Jesus was without sin, right? But he was still baptized not to wash himself clean of his sins, but to show us how to be. And so even from the infancy of Jesus, Jesus shows us who we are called to be, to find ourselves in right relationship with God. Within this story, there are kind of two testimonies that we see. First, we see the one of Simeon, and then we hear the story of Anna. And both of them are looking for redemption. They're both older, it says. In the case of Simeon, it says he was a righteous and devout man, and he was looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And it was revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So we know he's older, he's been a faithful and devout man his whole life, and he's been told that he won't die until he meets Jesus. And then we come to Anna, who it says was a widow, and she was 84, and she had never left the temple, but she worshiped there all day, fasting and praying night and day. And she, too, was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. These are both holy and faithful people who have been longing for God's presence, redemption, and consolation. They have been living in a weary world. And finally, they come to this moment where they are able to rejoice, for they have seen the goodness and power of God in their very midst. This text really is kind of a dichotomy of two worlds, which is really kind of how this Christmas has felt in so many ways. And on Christmas Eve, we had kind of finished wrapping up all of our regular Christmas Eve traditions. I spent most of my day cooking on Christmas Eve. I got up and I made sauce for our pasta dinner that we were having that night, and then we baked 4 dozen chocolate chip cookies, which Aaron had finished consuming by Christmas night. Shh, don't tell him I said that, even though he's probably watching right now. Or not. And then we made breakfast casserole for the next morning to get up. And so we'd done all of these things, and the presents were wrapped and ready to come out from the basement to be put under the tree so when the kids got up on Christmas morning they could see. But it just kind of felt like a weird Christmas. Like, we were in our pajamas most of the day. We were watching church online, our pre-recorded service. We weren't engaged in that usual hustle and bustle, going here and going there and everywhere. And we were kind of tired and worn out. And I remember Emerson emerging from Addie's room And she just kept asking, Santa's going to come tomorrow, right? And she had that twinkle of childhood in her eye. And despite our tiredness and weariness, the only thing that was present in her was joy. She was so excited for Christmas. It was like 2020 hadn't even fazed her. The sheer joy of her childlike hope was glistening through our home. This text is very much the same way. We have a tired Mary and Joseph who have traveled here and there and everywhere, trying to follow the law as best they could, bringing their child to Jerusalem so Mary could be purified and Jesus could be presented at the temple. And then we get Simeon and Anna, who have spent their whole lives in faithful practice to God. I'm sure they too are tired and weary. But they get to see the Messiah in the form of a baby. And their hope in the consolation and redemption of their land is being met. Part of the stark dichotomy in this text, these great contrasts that we see, is the end of life and the beginning. We see Simeon and Anna at the end of their life. And we see for Mary and Joseph, it's only the beginning of their stewardship of the favored life. This is the beginning of their time as first-time parents. It's also a contrast between poor and rich. The text tells us that Mary and Joseph only offered, it says, their two turtle doves and pigeons. Now, in Old Testament scripture, they are called to offer a lamb as a sacrifice. But it says you could use these birds as a substitute instead if you don't have enough. So we hear in this text that it's an indication that they're living in poverty, that they don't have enough to offer, so they offer only what they have. This is who God chose to birth the Messiah into the world. These poor, unexpecting people, a virgin engaged to Joseph, who are far from home in an unknown place, trying to do the best they can. But in the midst of their poverty, they are given extreme blessing. In the midst of their weariness, they experience great joy. And as they finish this process, it says, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom. Home for Mary and Joseph is a place where two worlds collide. Weariness and hope. Poverty and abundance and blessing. Pain and healing. Christmas is this for us too. A place where these stark contrasts in our world come together in the beauty of the Christmas moment. And so I hope for you that even in the midst of this weary world, it's a place where you can rejoice. And know that the Savior has come. The Savior has come to save you and to save me and to save the whole world so that we might experience the goodness and gladness and love and light that comes through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Holy God, I give you thanks for this day, for coming to us in an unexpected manner, and for showing us what it means to rejoice. God, let us be like Simeon and Anna today. Let us anticipate your presence in every moment. Let us listen to your call to shepherd in the Christ child into our lives. As we look around us, when we see the Mary and Josephs of the world, the poor and the weary and the downtrodden, God, we know that they are carriers of you too. Let us welcome them in. Let us lift them up and rejoice together. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.